You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Power Rankings is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hey, hello, and welcome to the NFL Power Rankings podcast presented by Energizer. I'm Dan Hanzus. My co-host is the lovely Colleen Wolfe.
Hello.
How are you, dear?
I'm doing great, doll.
Can I say...
Please.
I can't wait till you're an old lady. You kind of already are emotionally in the mind. You know that. How's your bird watching going?
It's great. You know, you're not the first person to bring this up to me. I have an old soul. And
you're kind of more like
just...
a Doreen.
What?
You're kind of like not so much a Colleen, but a Doreen.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
It's old lady.
A Doreen?
Yeah, a Doreen.
I would love to be a Doreen. I think Doreen would be great. I would drive a Lincoln. I mean, listen, I learned how to drive on a Lincoln, a 1979.
Oh, hon, it handles well.
Oh, my God. The power steering on that thing was great.
Listen, we're talking about the old times, and it makes me think of the good old days.
Mm-hmm. Which were what?
For me, you know, the late 80s, the early 90s, and I'm a kid, and I would go to St. Margaret's Parish on Sunday for usually the noon mass.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, my mom would take us.
You could save it for the theology podcast if you want.
Right. No other comments on my religious upbringing, but take us to my grandparents, and there's Poppy. Old Poppy, my grandfather, the Giants fan in his brown couch with his root beer. Watching the Bill Parcells Giants against all those great NFC East teams, Cunningham and the Eagles, Buddy Ryan, of course.
Oh, my God, with the hat, the way that he always wore his hat,
right.
Those uniforms.
Mm. To Washington teams with Gibbs leading the way, winning Super Bowls. And now we look at the power rankings and we see what? There's no Joe Gibbs here, okay? There's no Buddy Ryan, rest in peace. But we have the Dallas Cowboys. All the way up to number two, your Philadelphia Eagles,
mm-hmm.
Number one. The beasts of the NFC East rule the power rankings as we take a look, by the way, at the first quadrant of the latest edition of Power
Let's
Rankings.
Let's see what you're cooking up here.
At NFL.com/power rankings. Eagles stay at one after a dominating win over the Titans. A.J. Brown got the GM fired in Tennessee.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk about revenge. The Cowboys up two spots after putting up 33 unanswered in the fourth quarter. On Sunday Night Football. Bengals, and we're going to get to them in a bit, up five after a huge win over the Chiefs. Bills up one after beating the Patriots in primetime. Chiefs down three to number five. Vikings up one after beating the Jets narrowly, easy for mm-hmm. me to say. Niners down four. We're getting to get to them. Cataclysmic event for them. And the Dolphins humbled a bit at number eight, down two spots. But yes, the two teams, Eagles, Cowboys, mm-hmm. how confident are you that the Eagles hold on to this thing? Or are you watching the Cowboys on Sunday night and thinking to yourself, they're going to come get us, and they're going to take this number one seed in the NFC.
Well, of course, like, I'm always nervous watching the Cowboys. They just make me nervous in general. But seeing the way that they were so comfortable in the second half of that game, everything was going right for them. And right now, I just feel like the Eagles and the Cowboys are on a collision course for Christmas Eve, which is terrible for whoever loses that game, because you know that this is going to ruin Christmases.
Well, save it for the theology podcast. Right back at you, sister.
Just saying,
come on, Doreen.
All right. Hey, leave me alone. Get me a cigarette in the other room. I feel like Doreen smokes.
Doreen, you know we only smoke in the other room. You know that, Doreen.
That's why we cover the couches.
All right, Doreen.
All right. So, listen, the fact that the Cowboys did what they did in this game against the Colts, like, this was a close first half, and then they just blew the doors.
It was a close first three quarters.
Oh,
in fact,
God.
Jeff Saturday, he doesn't challenge that potential interception by Dak late in the third quarter, I'm not saying it would have been overturned, but the fact that he doesn't challenge it, if that gets overturned, the Colts have a chance to take the lead mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter. So that it was, I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't just look at the final score. Look at the Cowboys weren't overly impressive for most of that game before turning it on and embarrassing Jim Irsay's team. The Eagles, on the other hand, why it was an easy decision for me to keep them at one. The Titans are a good team. They're not a great team, but we know they're a good, disciplined, battle-tested team that has run into some issues now. But to beat them the way they did, to outgain the AFC South leaders by nearly 250 yards, that was impressive. That was not a hard decision for me to keep them where they are.
After the Eagles were able to win the game by running so well the week before, they came out and passed all over the place. They looked so good. Jalen Hurts' arm, amazing. I mean, A.J. Brown, we knew that this was coming, but I didn't know to what extent how dominant of an effort this would be from him. And also the pass rush looked so good for the Eagles. So you have so many great things working for them. I mean, Devonta Smith involved. They're just like having fun too. You can tell how much they like each other, how light it is in that locker room. And that usually equates to a playoff type of team and a winning team in the playoffs. But for me, the one thing that I would look forward to, and I really want to know, when we're talking about these two teams with the Cowboys, cornerback Anthony Brown done for the season mm-hmm. and ruptured his Achilles. They're already thin at that position and inexperienced there. They lost Jordan Lewis in October to that terrible woman, you know.
Oh, the harlot, Liz Frank.
I mean,
you know, I'm a feminist, Connie, but I have an issue with Liz Frank.
I thought I saw her out the other night. I grabbed John real fast.
Yeah, you pull. You know? Take your man. Hide your man.
But rookie Deron Bland, he's playing in place of Jordan Lewis. I don't know. So I was thinking maybe Mike McCarthy gives his old pal Kevin King from Green Bay a ring to bring in a little reinforcement there at the position.
Okay.
Because that could be tough for them down the stretch here. But when you see what their schedule is, they have Houston coming up this week.
Gimme.
Then they have Jacksonville, and then they have Philly on Christmas Eve.
So that's most likely two wins. I don't want to sleep on Jacksonville, although they just got wiped by the Lions on Sunday. I think about the Eagles locker room, a good, strong, healthy locker room. It does remind me of that special Sunday in Minneapolis, being in the locker room after 52, and Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares is playing, and the whole team is screaming every word in celebration.
And you even have Nick Foles screaming the words to that song. Like, that's a different year.
It's a little early in the show, but listen, the Bengals have arrived, so it's time
they're here.
Power moves. The Bengals are up five spots, and that's why they're the power mover. And you look at their trajectory since week 10. They were at 11, hung at 11, up to 10, up to 8, and boom, up to number 3, which means right now, Connie, to me, power rankings guy, they are the team in the AFC. And that could certainly change, but right now, and it's a now exercise, they're the team I trust more than anybody else to get out of the conference.
Ooh, even more than the Bills?
Right now.
Really? More than the Bills, more than the Chiefs.
More than the Texans. I believe that Cincinnati, their combination of a defense that is playing well together, that is playing with discipline, an offensive line that continues to improve, a running game that even without Joe Mixon is moving the chains, Ja'Marr Chase back on the field as a top 10 wide receiver in our league. T. Higgins, not quite at that level, but very close, knocking on the door of the superstar club on the other side. And then that dude behind center, Joe Burrow.
I know.
Who, and this isn't the first time Zach Taylor said something like this, but I think he's absolutely telling the truth. A lot of coaches say a line that I'm about to tell you, and you know it's BS.
Okay.
He said, I wouldn't trade him for anybody in the world. And I wouldn't either, because I think Burrow's got rings in him. Mm-hmm. And this year they have a chance.
Well, so this is my favorite part about the Bengals. I love when this team starts to feel themselves. And you know that we've arrived to that portion of the program at this point. Four straight wins. Joe Burrow, he brought back the same Cartier glasses that he wore the last time he played Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. They're sassy again. And that's what I love about them. It fills my heart with joy. I love a sassy team. I
like
love
Jack
players
A. Harris and 227 sassy. Like, what kind of sassy are we talking here?
I mean, listen, when you watch Joe Burrow arrive to a game,
look at that dude
with the Cartier shades and the suit. I mean, the looks are great, but for me, it's like Ja'Marr Chase, after a week of trash talking, which I love, coming from Justin Reed from the Chiefs, Ja'Marr Chase could not wait to get into Justin Reed's face. I mean, as soon as T. Higgins scored that touchdown, he ran over and started making it rain right in Justin Reed's face. Like, it wasn't even his touchdown. He was waiting for that. And then after the game, Chase got one more final dig in. Tuna in a can. That's been their thing. Tuna in a can, because they're, you know, that's what cats, they love tuna in a can.
I'm still not following it, but he said
because
it in
the
a cool
Bengals,
way.
So I was like, okay, because it's come up multiple times this season already. So I was like, oh, is that, you know, them calling the other team something? But I think because the Bengals, they're cats, and cats love tuna in a can. So that's what they do to the secondary. Anyway, I developed a strong aversion to tuna in a can a few years ago. Really? Still haven't come back around on it. But anyway.
Save it for the tuna in a can podcast.
I also liked Joe Burrow after the game when he was asked about Justin Reed's comments about, you know, it's too long and convoluted to even get into because Justin Reed got all of the names wrong when he was trying to talk trash. But Joe Burrow said, I would have cared a lot more if he knew what he was talking about. And especially after the game, like, he just knows exactly what to say.
Yes.
And when you play this way with Samaje Perine doing such a good job in the absence of Joe Mixon, I mean, Perine definitely has to have a bigger role once Mixon comes back too.
He's definitely earned that, and I think they could be a great tandem together. And you know, it's in the era of analytics, you want to find all the different reasons to explain why Joe Burrow is so special, and you could do that. Go dig through the numbers, and you'll see what a great quarterback he is, and how he moves offenses so efficiently with his varied skill set. However, there is that certain something, je ne sais quoi, if you will, that is undefinable, that makes him different, that makes him special, which is why in a very tightly packed AFC, and you see it with Bengals 3, Bills 4, Chiefs 5, all those teams are very close. You could flip any of them in any spot in these power rankings and you have a case. I think je ne sais quoi wins out in the AFC right now. That's where I'm at.
Well, especially with that energy that they're giving out.
Outside the top five, you have the Vikings. I have them up one spot after their 27-22 win over the Jets. I have the Jets, and we'll see them when we get to the second quadrant, holding on to the 10th spot because I think that was an interesting, somewhat odd game in that you were expecting one of those teams to make some type of huge statement and separate themselves. But instead, I came out of that game feeling the same about the Vikings, despite that 10-2 record, that they are a cut below the big boys atop these power rankings, even those AFC teams. I still see them in the same way, and I want to give them credit because I know there's Vikings fans that are just like, oh, Dan with his Jets fandom, like, he's not giving us.
Vikings fans are out for all of us.
They did an incredible job in the red zone stopping Mike White and the Jets five out of six times, and that's how they won that game. But they also let the Jets into the red zone six times in that game, and their offense did that weird disappearing act it does at times. It still feels like a slightly unbalanced team, but the fact that they've literally won every one-score game, It's they deserve the respect of the number six spot.
They do. Their 10th win of the season, and it was the 10th time they had to white knuckle to the finish. And it's just got to be so stressful to be a Vikings fan. No wonder they're out for all of us, because it's not an easy life. They deserve better than this. They deserve at least one comfortable win this season. And I don't know when they'll get it if the Vikings continue to play this way. Like, yes, they had those two. The defense had the two back-to-back red zone stops that were great to preserve the win. They needed that. But Kirk Cousins was off for a lot of this game because that Jets defense is so good. When it mattered, Kirk Cousins delivered those strikes to Justin Jefferson. He connected on all five of those attempts on that touchdown drive. So that score ended up being the difference in the game. But this Vikings defense just bleeds yards. They just hemorrhage yards every single week.
They absolutely do, and that will continue to be an issue. And I think Kirk Cousins, even though the numbers are fine, I think he's got to play better. He's delivered. They were very good, conversely, in the red zone, which, again, allowed them to win that game, scoring every time they got inside the Jets' 20. But he left a lot of yards on the field in that game. And in general, when you look at his week-to-week production, I think he needs to raise his game if this team is truly in the Super Bowl conversation. Can we talk about the Niners now? Because I have them at 7.
Okay.
And this is very difficult, Connie, when it comes to power rankings. How do you define a really good team when they suffer a crushing injury loss, mm-hmm. as Jimmy Garoppolo is for this team out for the year after injuring his foot against the Dolphins. So they had their best win of the season, in large part not because of Brock Purdy, who did fine mm-hmm. in relief work for a seventh-round rookie, but because of their varied skill set players on offense, their defense, that front seven with Fred Warner and the guys in the front four that get after the quarterback. Where do you put a team after they lose their second starting quarterback of the season? Do you drop them like a rock or what?
How much time did you spend on the Niners? Like, if you are spending the full day on Monday
yes.
with these rankings, what percentage of time did you spend trying to figure out?
Were you, if I said 5 hours?
Yeah.
It's not true. Because what you do basically is, okay, they still had that really impressive win. They are still atop their division.
Uh-huh.
So what we're going to do is give them a subtle drop, which is a nod that this is not good that you've lost your quarterback here. But we're giving you the respect by keeping you in the top 10. Does that make sense?
So you're bracing for a larger fall.
Potentially.
Okay.
I don't know how you can't, just because unless Kyle Shanahan has this kid just so locked in and ready for what he has in front of him. But this is a huge, huge task to put in Brock Purdy's lap in the middle of December.
But the nice thing is he has this defense that is so talented, and the playmakers that they do have on offense are so versatile, and you have Kyle Shanahan that can scheme up different things. And I would say, considering the fact that Brock Purdy has been leading the scout team against the Niners' incredible defense, like, that's a best case scenario for a seventh round rookie to be just thrown into this. And Fred Warner talked all about Purdy and how much they test him during these practices. I mean, of course they're going to talk him up right now, but I think there is something to that, considering how good this defense is at every single level and that they have been testing him. So if he's going to have any type of practice before he gets thrown into the spotlight, that's the best kind of practice to have.
Yeah, and I would say that Kyle Shanahan's offense, if Purdy, and they identified him as a guy they wanted in their building. In fact, he beat out Nick Mullins, I believe it was, this summer for a roster spot, which mm-hmm. was impressive in its own right. So perhaps he is somebody that will be able to efficiently operate this offense even at his young age, and Shanahan's offense is very based on knowing your personnel as a quarterback, knowing your scheme, obviously knowing where your reads are and getting the ball out. They're not going to be asking Purdy to do a ton of processing mm-hmm. behind the line of scrimmage. If the offensive line holds up, he's a distributor. Just like when Garoppolo was going well, it was see the receiver, hit the receiver, and let them do it, the Yak Bros and all that.
And he's not afraid to push the ball downfield either, which could be a good or a bad
or
thing. Like, exactly. But the potential good news here for Jimmy G is the Niners think he avoided the scourge of a woman.
He did.
Yeah.
Good. Because so, hide your man.
Miss Liz Frank.
She's
we don't want to see her around these parts.
And this would be the part when I usually... No, get her out of here.
She's got to go.
Loose women sink ships. This is when I'd usually jump over to the quad two.
Uh-huh.
But we got to stay in quad one because there's another team we got to talk about. And it's the Dolphins.
Yes.
And I drop them to 8, and just a two-spot drop. Some of that, I kind of wanted to ding them a little bit more, but there wasn't any teams behind them that I felt really deserved that bump up. Obviously mm-hmm. not the Titans or the Jets behind them, two teams that came off losses. But at the same time, kind of a sobering reality check for Miami, wasn't it?
Well, Tua was tested, and you know, he had a hard time as expected. Nobody thought that – I didn't think this game was going
to
go any different.
There were a lot of now, this is not me saying, oh, I nailed it, but I kind of did. Everyone was just assuming because they were rolling through 5 of the worst teams in football uh-huh. over the past month plus that was just going to continue because this is who the Dolphins were now. No, we needed to see them do it against a team like San Francisco.
Right.
So when they don't, you have to ask questions now.
This was exactly what I expected from Tua because he kind of came in and out of being flustered in this game. Like the first pass, a 75-yard touchdown to Trent Sherfield. I almost think that's almost like a little fluky because it's the first play of the game. You catch him off guard. I loved it. Like that was a great play by Tua. And then he also had that other deep shot to Tyreek Hill in the second half, which were the first points that the Niners had allowed in the second half in what, like 5 games. So 5 straight games. But when you don't have Jalen Waddle involved, his first catch wasn't until 30 seconds left in the third quarter. Like this Niners defense
has
such great talent to slow down the Dolphins. I mean, it's just a really bad matchup for them. The Niners defense, I think, is a bad matchup for anyone, but specifically for the Dolphins and their personnel.
But you see what I'm saying, though. You're right. Matchup-wise, But I just wonder now, as you look, like, what do we have? Let me check this out real quick.
Like, the back-to-back interceptions, he was missing
open
targets.
There were open
exactly,
receivers.
Exactly, yeah.
But you could look at that as a positive, too, that it wasn't so much that Mike McDaniel's offense scheme was flummoxed and broken by what D'Amico Ryans and San Francisco's D did. It was maybe the quarterback just had a bad day, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks can have bad days. So they're going to be a very interesting team to watch going forward. They're at the Chargers, a team that's just all sorts of banged up, obviously, with Joey Bosa and numerous other players out of the lineup. But then they go to Buffalo the week after that. So I'm kind of circling that date as another opportunity for Miami to show us that they should be taken seriously as a Super Bowl contender. I'm just not there yet. And again, Brock Purdy replaced Jimmy Garoppolo in the first quarter. I mean, that was a gift from the football gods to Miami, and they just couldn't do anything with it.
So, yeah, that Dolphins-Bills game is going to be huge. I'll be there for it. I'm really excited. I've never been to Buffalo to see a game ever.
This
has been on my bucket list.
What are you doing there?
I'm so excited. We're doing the pre half and post.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe half and post because it's the triple header on that Saturday, December 17th. So it's the last game of the day. So we'll be doing, at least the half and post game there.
Are you a wings girl? Do you do the wings?
What, Anchor Bar? I'll go to Anchor Bar.
Yeah, you do the Anchor Bar.
Yeah, but I can't do wings before a show. I'm both accident prone and a mess. So I
not a good combo for that particular food item.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Let's check out the quad two now. Yes. Mentioned the Titans and Jets hold on to their spots. The Jets, I feel comfortable keeping them there. The Titans, I was ready to drop them, but then who do you put above them? I don't know. Ravens at 11. We'll get to them in a minute. Seahawks up two spots after that narrow win over the Rams to 12. Commanders stay at 13. The Giants, after the tie with the Commanders, jump up and get right next to the Commanders. They have a rematch coming up week after this in FedEx Field. The Raiders up 2 to 15, and the Bucks after that miraculous Monday Night Football comeback up 2-16. They're going to win that division now after that game. Let's start with the Ravens, though, Connie. We're just talking about San Francisco and their quarterback issues. Lamar Jackson, not as nearly as serious as what ended Jimmy G's season, his knee issue. But at the same time, a little foreboding, John Harbaugh not putting even a timetable on it. Just more like, hey, don't expect to see him Sunday. And then we'll see from there.
I mean, this was a nightmare of a week for the Ravens. You barely beat one of the worst teams in the league in the Broncos. And then Lamar goes down week to week. I mean, the thing that makes Lamar so special is the way that he moves around on the ground. And Dan, I've heard that the knee is a big part of the leg and how you move around on the ground.
I didn't know you studied medicine.
Totally. Yeah. Anatomy. Yeah, that was one of my favorite classes. Anyway.
Pre-med.
I was going to be a neonatologist, but then I decided instead to just go into sports. there's so much
less
overlap. Anyway.
I just wanted to help people.
I just want to connect with others and feel like I'm making a difference and leave this world a better place.
I want to keep it. I have a new dentist, and I was, I asked him, hey, how'd you become a dentist? Like, what was that all about? And he kept it real. He's like, well, my whole family was like doctors and dentists and, doctors, a lot more work, a lot more years of school and bad hours. So I was like, screw that. I'll be a dentist instead.
Wow.
All right.
That's actually pretty smart. Yeah. I wish I had heard of that before I made some
choices. Yeah, good decision, Dad. Anyway, what are we talking about? The Ravens, yes.
It all feels very 2021 to me.
Oh, Ravens fans do not want to hear that.
I know, and I don't want that to be the case at all. Nobody wants that at all. They're at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, then Atlanta, Pittsburgh again.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland fans do want that.
At Cincinnati to end the season.
Well. Yeah, they're tied atop the division in the North, but I'm totally with you. It's very, It's very hard to know exactly what's going on, obviously, because as long as Lamar is up in the air, the whole season for the Ravens, just like last year, is up in the air. But I do know this. There will be no miracles for Baltimore. Tyler Huntley is a good backup, but they lost four or five with him last year after Lamar went down. But this Baltimore team, we've seen it time and time again. The defense isn't good. I mean, it's not bad, but it certainly has had enough letdowns in big spots in this game where you know you can't trust them. The passing game was already hurting, not because of Lamar, but because of the roster that's been built in a way and because of injuries that they just don't have that explosiveness. And you take Jackson and what he adds to their running game out of it, and it's like this is not a very special team.
Mm-mm. No, and I kind of feel the same way at this point about the Bucks. Like, it's a team that I just don't trust, even though the last minute heroics, if this offense just operated hurry up all the time, I think that they would have different results, because you see them able to move the ball and get positive momentum when they go hurry up. And that's what happened in these last few minutes of this game. And Tom Brady just kind of took over, and it was like, he just kind of got in that zone, and right. nothing else was going to stop him. Right. He was going to win the game. And it was largely a disaster. Like before, with a wild decision to punt.
Todd Bowles got bailed out by his defense and then Brady. That was a terrible decision.
Todd Bowles, he loves and trusts his defense. You decide to punt 4th and 10. I mean, Brady was so pissed.
With like 6 minutes to play,
everyone was freaking out. Yeah. Like, that was a crazy decision that somehow ended up being the right decision because of everything that happened afterwards. But Todd Bowles did the same thing last week too when he punted on 4th and 3 against the Browns. Like, just different things like this don't make me feel
all right,
great.
Don't be so negative, though. I mean, that was a special moment in their season.
Of course it was.
And
it was awesome.
Do you, can you, can't you see, because they're going to the playoffs now. That was the win. If they lose that game, and I know they have a tough game next week. I can't remember who it was. But
I usually have this right
it's
here.
A top. It's the Niners next week, although with Purdy, who knows anymore. With that team, NFL's weird this year. It would have been wide open, that division. I don't feel that way anymore. At the same time, like, even though this team is flawed, get Brady into the dance, and he could still be a tough out.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I think my issue with this team is that I started to believe after they beat the Seahawks in Munich, and I was back on board off board, and
talked
I jumped back on,
yeah.
and then they burned me. So now I'm just kind of guarding myself.
Well, here's the thing. This is the other weird thing about this team. What Brady showed you in those last two drives, he's still Brady. He might not be the Brady of even a couple of years ago. Maybe he's come down a little bit at this point at age 45, but he's still really a good distributor and has unrivaled pocket presence and all that. He continues to just miss these deep throws. And the future of their season rides on whether they can unlock their downfield passing game, because it isn't like he's sailing the ball out of bounds or he's like, poor Matt Ryan, we can't throw anymore. It's just a little bit off between especially Mike Evans, but Godwin as well, Scotty Miller. And if that gets corrected, and it could be a simple mechanic fix or just the flow of the season, they're going to be dangerous in January. But until I see that element of their offensive attack, the vertical game, get corrected. And now we're getting into the middle of December.
TikTok. I mean, it's going to be week 14. Let's go.
Let's go indeed. Before we go to break, let's talk Raiders, because they've kind of been my pet team.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
For much of this season. I don't know. They're interesting to me in that they were a Greek tragedy for the first half of the season, blowing so many games. And then you count them out, and then they win on two walk-off touchdowns in the past 2 weeks, kind of gifts from their opponent to give them those games. And then they wipe out a 10-0 deficit against the Chargers on Sunday and badly outplay a Los Angeles team that was ahead of them in the playoff standings entering the week. And all of a sudden, they got the Rams on Thursday night. And you say, wait a second here. Wait a second. Are the Raiders going to go from one of the most disappointing teams in the league to a team that gets into the fabled in the hunt column of the playoff picture? I think it's possible. Is it also possible, Connie, that this team that has this pathological need to just destroy its fan base with bad losses this year has another bad one in them? Maybe on Thursday night. Games are weird on Thursday.
They always are.
Connie. But this is – riddle me this, Connie.
Okay.
I'll tee you up thusly.
Yes,
after
please.
That long ramp up.
I love riddles.
I haven't even started.
I know. What the –
How is it, Connie?
Let's wrap this up.
That the Raiders can have two legitimate Offensive Player of the Year candidates in Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs, and a leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year, Max Crosby, yet still find themselves two games under 500 after three consecutive wins. It's weird.
Wow. That is weird.
And it tells me it's all these things mean they're going to keep winning and their record is going to, in the end, reflect more what their talent level is and the playmakers they have. And that would put them back in the race. They've got some wins, more wins to take care of, but that's why they're where they are.
I mean, they have really good talent on this team. Like Chandler Jones, hello. Welcome to the season.
Yeah.
I mean,
earned a paycheck, Chandler. Welcome.
He came in with just a half sack and then brought down Justin Herbert three times in this game.
In the first half.
Josh Jacobs has been rolling, which I love. Like, that's the petty tour. And my favorite part about this whole matchup with the Chargers this past week, I mean, it felt so personal the whole time. But with Keenan Allen and that fourth down touchdown that he got for the Chargers. Like, earlier this week, Keenan Allen, he returned, obviously, after missing these seven games. And he said last week that the Raiders' DBs would be barbecue chicken if they played single coverage on him. I just think there was a missed opportunity for them to actually bring in barbecue chicken for the win. Like, that would have been
nice.
That's how
you really
have
stick
it wet.
The landing on the bit. Yeah.
Exactly. Then they're eating chicken as they're doing the post-game interview. It's great.
No, now you just brought back bad memories of Aaron Hernandez eating gross chicken in front of reporters years ago.
See, I would have gone to Thanksgiving when they're on the field. They win. They have, like, the turkey leg.
Or Colleen
and Buffalo.
You go
to Aaron Hernandez.
Well, listen, the real ones know exactly what I'm talking about with the Aaron Hernandez eating chicken in the locker room bit. Anyway, let's take a break, and we'll hit the rest of the power rankings. I'm sorry to bring it up, but you said chicken and locker room eating. Let's just move on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Welcome back to the show. As we check out quad three here, the Lions up three spots. You know what? You just can't keep them down, those Lions. At 17 right now.
The real America's team.
The Chargers, who we just mentioned, dropping six spots to 18. You got the Patriots after their loss to the Bills on Thursday night, down four spots at 19. The Browns down one spot after beating the Texans without any points from the offense. You got the Packers standing pat there at 21. Steelers at 22, up two spots. And then the Cardinals down one at 23. And the Jags down one at 24.
I should have moved up the Packers a couple of spots. I'm going to take the L on that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're just realizing that right now?
It's too late now. Hey, listen, once it gets sent in, it's over. But
there's
always next
week, Dan.
There is. It will be addressed. Hey, how about those Lions?
I love the Lions.
Our team that we covered on the Hard Knocks podcast this summer, and they have made a steady rise up the board.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, they were number 31 as recently.
Let's take a little trip here.
As week 9, Connie. And then they moved up to 29, then up to 21, then up to 18, then a little dip down to 20. But now here they are again at their high water mark of the season at 17. And let me tell you something, Connie.
Let me hear.
And this does speak to how kind of weird the middle section, the soft underbelly of the power rankings are. If those Lions beat the Vikings, and by the way, the desert favors them.
The Lions?
To win the Lions on Sunday. They'll be knocking on the top 10 of the power rankings.
What?
And I know that doesn't sound right, and it doesn't even sound right to me, but look at the teams around them, and then look what the Lions have done over the last 7 weeks.
It's grit. It's all about grit.
But you got to win on Sunday. or it's just a nice little story. But you beat the 10-2 Vikings, and it becomes something else entirely.
And Detroit played them really close in week three. That was only a 4-point loss.
Everyone plays the Vikings close, as we've established.
But the Lions, this was not close against the Jags. They absolutely stomped them 40-14. I mean, Jared Goff looked so good. They scored a touchdown or a field goal on 8 consecutive drives, scored over 30 points for the 6th time this year, the most in the NFL. I mean, and on top of that, now they're adding in their rookie wide receiver, Jameson Williams. So you have even more firepower to come still. I love this for Dan Campbell.
Yeah, Williams, anything he gives them this year will be a bonus. I think that was the idea. A lot of people thought, and it was a good wide receiver draft. Garrett Wilson, for example, had 166 yards for the Jets against the Vikings on Sunday. But a lot of people said Jameson Williams is the best of the bunch, potentially, and he's coming back from that ACL. But when you look, even without him, just assuming he's somebody that will get some snaps as he gets back up to speed, DeAndre Swift being healthy, Amon-Ra St. Brown being healthy, our boy Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, like, this is a sustainable offense that I think earlier in the season, like, they got shut out by New England, as I recall, and they had some highs and lows.
They started 1-6. Then they won 3 straight, and then they lost by 3 to the Bills on Thanksgiving.
Last second kick, yeah.
And crushed the Jags.
So I don't think this is a fluky offense. I think they're going to play every team and be able to score points. And then if the defense, which is getting better with our boy Rodrigo and company, they really have a chance to get that last wild card spot in the NFC. But that Sunday is so important in terms of them graduating to something else.
Hey, have to mention DJ Chark, too, because they got a huge play from Chark for 41 yards that kind of set up another Amon-Ra St. Brown touchdown. Like, they have just a bunch of playmakers on this offense, and I did not think watching Hard Knocks this summer that this offense would be putting up the kind of points that they are right now.
We kind of did, though. We talked about it on the podcast.
We talked about the defense being the issue.
We said, like, the offense looks like it'll be all right. The defense is going to be a mess, and we kind of nailed it.
Yeah.
But what Dan Campbell and my guy, Aaron Glenn, the DC, have been able to do is just do what good coaching staffs do and rosters that have talent can do, which is start figuring things out as the year goes along. Very happy for Lions fans.
I'm sure Eminem is really happy too.
Oh, Marshall is just over the moon. Hey, but we have talked about the Lions a lot this year for a 5-7 team. Mm-hmm. How about a 5-7 team that we haven't talked about at all this year?
And who's that?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
What?
And I get why we haven't talked about them a lot, because in this exercise, what we do, power rankings, they're not really a relevant team, quote unquote, because they've been hanging in this 20 to 25 range for much of the year.
It's kind of like purgatory.
Yeah, they're kind of getting overlooked a little bit because they've been a team that hasn't really been worth discussing, quite frankly, in the prism of power rankings. However, it is notable to me, Connie, that they are getting better. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, coaching. Mike Tomlin, who's never had a sub-500 season, he might keep that streak going.
Do you really think so?
Now that Kenny Pickett is – I'm not saying Kenny Pickett has taken over the league, and he's not having the type of rookie season we've seen in recent years. Justin Herbert is an example where he hits the ground running as a difference maker. But you could tell with each passing week he's gaining more getting more comfortable in this offense, making good decisions. And you add T.J. Watt back into the mix, the defense has its teeth back, and they're going to play teams tight. They're going to play them tough, and I think they will end up right around 500.
Well, George Pickens has a lot to say about what's going on with the offense. Like, he was invisible in
this
game.
Yeah, that was weird.
He was not happy about it. I mean, he had one catch for 2 yards.
You got to keep wide receivers happy. All it takes
Feed
is one
early.
Game.
That's it.
All it takes is one game, and they will sulk on you.
But also, we've seen George Pickens have incredible catches this year. Like, you throw something his way, and he will make it happen. He will lay out and just completely – I mean, there were some just beautiful one-handed grabs that he had this year. And I saw him reach kind of his breaking point, I thought, when Diontae Johnson – almost had that fumble that was then ruled a drop, and he was just like completely emotionally checked out, I think, after that.
Let's pull up the quad three again. Just 1 second, Connie, before we move to the final quad. I want to take one more look at quad three and ask you a question.
Okay.
Who out of these teams, Lions, Chargers, Pats, Browns, Packers, Steelers, Cards, Jaguars, do you feel the most confident in snagging a playoff spot?
Okay, so
Don't overthink it. Just kind of like what
it's
comes
the Lions.
To you.
It's the Lions because right now they have the momentum and they just keep kind of rising on the power rankings, and that's not by accident. I think they finally have their stuff together.
You know what? I would have said the Packers, but that eighth loss kills them. So, and again, the Lions can't find a way against the Vikings. That's eight for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to win. They have to beat the Vikings. Who's more due for a loss than the Vikings?
Who are you picking the Lions? Yeah.
Let's move to quad four.
Okay.
Oh, the dregs. I'll do this one. Connie, the Falcons hold at 25. The Saints, they were ready to jump up to, 22, 21.
Oof.
And then the whole house caught on fire.
What a collapse.
They stay at 26. Panthers, Bears, Rams, Broncos, all up one spot. Not because of anything they did necessarily, mm-hmm. but because the Colts needed to be redirected down the standings. After Sunday Night Football, they're down to 31, and then the Texans, they got that bottom spot on lock.
Man, I just still can't get over the Colts. Like, what a just abject disaster that was in the fourth quarter. Wow.
So, it's the holiday season, Connie.
Oh, it is?
It sure is. So let's be positive here.
I told you it was the holiday season last episode.
No, it wasn't, though.
Well, why?
Because it wasn't December yet.
We had our Christmas tree up already.
That.
Our whole house is, like, fit with lights.
I mean, come on, grow up. I mean, Christmas season.
I am. You said I'm an old lady. I can't get older. Got him.
John, can you please get the tree down from the attic?
It is a fake tree.
It's after Thanksgiving, you know.
The first Friday after Thanksgiving.
Come on, John.
Where's the tinsel? I thought there was going to be tinsel this year.
Doreen, we're out of tinsel.
Okay, I have an idea.
That's not what your husband sounds like, by the way. A very strong, masculine, youthful voice.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, Kyle. Something like that.
That actually is pretty right there.
Yep.
Good job. Pretty accurate. Okay.
Sure.
So, this it's the holiday season. I interrupted you. Go ahead. Was there a...
Oh, no. Let's say something nice about some of these teams.
Oh!
Because there's
not...
You
know, that's a great idea.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, a lot of good things going on with these teams.
Okay.
So, say something nice about somebody.
Okay.
We'll
say something nice about the Falcons.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you going to say?
And, thank God for bye weeks because they finally got one coming. So they'll get some sweet relief.
Really not fair, by the way, these week 14, but these teams.
I know. It's too late.
Yeah.
But you potentially have a nice quarterback that might be waiting on the other side of this bye week. Week 15, Desmond Ridder.
Third round pick.
You got the Saints, Ravens, Cardinals, and Bucks coming up. Like, let's see what he got. I've seen enough from Marcus Mariota. I think that Arthur Smith has probably seen enough from Marcus Mariota. He did say that they were going to make some changes. There will be changes made. We have to look at everything. So a week of introspection.
Then
Desmond Ridder time.
The great Joe Beningo of WFAN fame has a line that I'm going to use based on your call for a change there, mm-hmm. Connie, because I've watched a lot of Falcons football. And that offense, and my line is, from your lips to God's
ears.
It's time for a change of quarterback in
it is.
Atlanta. Let me say something nice.
Okay. Where are you going?
The Panthers. I like it. Get Baker out of the building. Get Baker out of the building. I'm exhausted by Baker Mayfield in general.
Mm-hmm.
So their decision to part ways with a quarterback on Monday clears the path for Sam Darnold and P.J. Walker to finish out this season. And I don't think barring some type of incredible rise, although I have a soft spot for Sam with his Jets mm-hmm. ties. And I was thinking to myself in the fourth quarter on Monday night, ooh, this door is open for the Panthers to maybe steal the South. And then all of a sudden Sam Darnold is playing a home playoff game as a starting quarterback. All that stuff's probably not going to happen. But I like that they got Baker out of the picture. Darnold gets a clear runway. But in all honesty, this is just maybe even them figuring out who their backup is because mm-hmm. they're going to go get a quarterback. But way to simplify things in that QB room. Say
and
something nice.
Honorable mention.
Yes.
Frankie Louvu. I mean, emerged as a starter this year. I just love saying his name. Frankie Louvu sounds like a character from Times
of Old. Doreen, did you invite Frankie Louvu?
He's coming up for dinner. Okay. I will say something nice.
Is Rusty still in the Navy, Clark?
Don't even get... Hey, if any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas, Me? I have one. I like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a bagel or a ribbon on his head. I will save the rest for later, but I can do the whole thing.
Now I know what we're doing for our Christmas show.
The Bears.
Full reading.
I will say, I know you're
say
really,
something nice about the
you're
Bears.
Really down on the Bears.
No, I'm not.
I feel like you
they just are, what they
are kind of a Bears hater.
No,
at
I'm
this
not.
Point.
I'm not.
Just
but
not
go
impressed.
Ahead.
Don't care.
Why should I be impressed?
Because I think that Justin Fields played a really good game.
He's
and
fine.
He
threw
played...
two interceptions in the last 5 minutes of the game. But...
Sure. That yes, absolutely. But he had two beautiful deep balls in this game.
Or
the 56-yard rushing touchdown, the 56-yard dime to Equanimeous St. Brown.
Okay.
I mean, he had the big throw to Cole Kmet on third down. Like, they were up 16-3 on the Packers. This was a valiant effort, I thought, from the Bears without three starting members of their secondary. So I think that this was like an excellent game aside from those two interceptions for Justin Fields. So he just continues. He was poised in the pocket. Come on, Dan.
Didn't the Packers lose 7 of 8 before that game, though? It's not like they beat Vince Lombardi's team with Bart Starr.
I'm just saying. That was the exercise.
They didn't
say
beat anybody.
Nice, all right?
All right.
What
all
kind
right.
of Grinch are you?
Yeah, but you teed it up by saying that I hate the Bears. I think the Bears could be really good next year. I think it could happen quickly.
Why you hate Chicago.
It's a great city. Finally, I'll say something nice about the Denver Broncos, specifically their defense. Which very nearly...
You're not going to say anything about their offense?
No, very nearly single-handedly, as is their only choice, beat the Ravens on Sunday until they get beat late and lose 10-9. There's a lot of integrity on that side of the football in Denver for them to continue to fight week after week after week as the offense goes into a total funk week after week after week. You know, the Broncos have 10 games now this year where they have one touchdown or less offensively.
Really?
10. A team that gave up their entire future to get a star quarterback. Russell Wilson has 8 touchdowns on the season. So
that is no good.
You could absolutely understand if Denver's defense mailed it in and this team turned into an absolute dumpster fire, but they haven't because of that D. So I'm saying something nice about that side of the ball.
They got pride, and I love it. And they got great unis.
I love doing the show with you.
Their alternate
Connie.
Unis are awesome. Oh, are we now saying something nice about the co-host?
Let me say something nice about you.
Okay.
You're an old woman at heart, but that old woman is a sweet old lady who does not put razor blades and apples on Halloween.
No, but I have never handed out candy on Halloween. So I don't know if that is a strike.
So maybe not
me.
Yet, you're saying.
Not. There is still time.
Got it.
Dan, you're a great host, and the power rankings were lovely this week, so A+.
All right. That's okay.
I'll get back to you
now,
with something else.
A little impersonal.
Later.
Thank you. Now I'll say something nice about all the listeners who've been following along all year. Thank you.
We'll
be back next week. Until then, heed the call.
Later.
NFL Power Rankings is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.